For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What up, what up, what up, everyone? Hope you're having a great start to your week. This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I am your host, Emmy Award-winning sports analyst, CBS sports analyst, and 10-year NFL defensive lineman, Lee Doosable. And you know I'm with my guys, a former first-round pick of the Tennessee Titans.
Thank you.
He's a guy that has a big boxing match coming up in less than a week and was a 2014 All-Pro cornerback with the Cincinnati Bengals. Adam, Pat got that, Pat Jones, and a guy that claims he's from Pittsburgh, but he's really from Winter Park, Florida. He's a sports analyst on Inside the NFL and was a 6-time Pro Bowl wide receiver in the NFL. Brandon Marshall, a.k.a. The Beast. Fellas, how y'all doing on this good Monday?
I'm good, but you got to let go of this thing that y'all been carrying since 2004 and 5, this whole thing, where am I from? Like, bro, y'all been talking about this since college, bro.
We literally been talking about this since college. Brandon say he from Pittsburgh, y'all, but we don't know if that's actually true. We think he's from Winter Park, Florida.
Oh, my goodness. Listen,
that's where he went to high school, Pat. That's all I'm going to say.
I moved down south. All the dudes used to laugh at me. I feel like I'm just like a tweener. Like, I'm not accepted, right? Because when I go home, they used to be like, oh, you talk so white, right? Because I moved down to Florida. And then in Florida, they like, oh, you talk so black in my little neighborhood. So y'all need to accept me, man. I'm just me.
So you in between, you just like – you're a loner. Essentially, Pittsburgh don't claim you. Winter Park, Florida don't claim you.
Yeah man.
That's tough. Pack, what's good, man?
What's up?
I can't get playing.
We got to talk about this boxing match you got coming on up in what, like less than a week, right?
Yeah, man. 4 days. Friday, December 9th, Rhode Island. We finna invade their territory this weekend. It's going to be a good week. Friday. Yeah, Barstools, Rough and Rowdy. It's going to be epic. Let's go.
So, Pack, so quick question. Is it going all three rounds or
I don't
or
think it's going to go three. I think it go two.
So, it's a three-round expedition?
Yeah.
How many minutes?
1 minute.
Per round.
This is a straight brawl.
1 minute rounds. The ring is really small, 6x6, so you can't do too much running. You got to go and handle your business. I'm way better, first of all, in boxing than I was last year when I fought this guy. Fought Bobby.
What's your record right now?
My record?
Yeah.
0-1. I'm 0-1 by Rough and Rowdy standards. Personally, I think I won the fight. But I didn't know a couple rules. Like, you know, he pushed me around a little bit, and you get more points in Rough and Rowdy when you're pushing around. It's more than just throwing hands. So, but I'm well prepared. I won't lose this one. I tell you that.
So is this going to be a trilogy, right? So you'll probably go out there, knock his ass out in the first or the second. So, like, is there like a clause that's in the contract that you guys have to go to a third fight?
Yes, it is. If I win, we have to have a third fight.
Wow.
Oh.
February. The date is already like picked and everything.
So they locked them up.
When I win, bro. You hear me?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for changing your language.
Yeah. When I win. When I win. Yeah.
So this, like you talked about this before, Pac, this is more of a brawl. It ain't really like no boxing exhibition because, again, it's 1 minute rounds. And then you said you get points for pushing?
I'm just saying it's not a regular boxing match. It's not like we going, you know what I mean, 3 minute rounds where you can pick and choose. You got to go ahead and get going. You know what I mean? This starting now. It's like a locker room fight. I know all of us have seen or been around a locker room fight. It happen quick, it end quick, so you got to get busy quick.
it definitely does.
Right. Super quick. Yo, so, Pac, like, what's your vision for your boxing career? Right? Like, you know, this is your second fight. I mean, do you envision, you know, taking it a step farther, maybe joining Showtime, or you got DAZN and what they're doing? I mean, what do you see?
Personally, I got to finish this business right here because I don't like leaving something on a loser note. That's the only reason why I've agreed to what I've agreed to with Ruff and Rowdy. I must win. You know what I mean? And the other hand, it's a lot of more options that I've had come to me. But personally, I want to stay in the celebrity lane. I don't know if I want to go like full throttle where
Were you doing like big boxing matches? So like something like with the Jake Paul thing, you don't see yourself doing that?
The Jake Paul, yes. Okay. But I see that.
And that was my last question, dudes.
I see that. Well, if he can get his fat ass down to 170, 175, I'll fight his ass too.
Well, my thing is, who do you like? You know, I know you got to take care of business now, but who do you see in your future? Is there any particular person?
I already told you about Steve Smith.
I was wondering if he's going to bring that up.
That would be legendary, though. Listen, for real, that would be a good one.
Man, supposedly Steve said he bought it, though.
Okay.
That's what he said?
Through the grapevine.
They set it up.
Why, Omar, why are you shaking your head, Omar?
They set it up.
Is that not factual? Steve Smith didn't say that? Oh, that's why Omar's shaking his head.
Omar? He said it?
No, he did not. He did not.
Oh, okay.
Well, can you text him? Can you text him, Pac, and ask him?
Does Steve Smith know my number? He know where I stand with it. Won't you text him?
Hey, guys. SiriusXM, Pandora, Stitcher, I Am Athlete, Tonight. Can you take this clip and post it everywhere, and let's see if we can get a Steve Smith response, right?
Smith. It's just an exhibition Pac-Man fight. That's all.
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
So, Brandon, just know if it happens, it started from right here. This fight happens. It started from tonight's show on I Am Athlete Tonight.
Pac, you know what Pac going to do? Pac going to come to me like, got an idea. That's what we going to do. Yeah, you already know where I'm going. And this one right here, we're going to do this right. We're going to do it on our own YouTube channel.
Yes, yeah, sir.
Oh, my God. Get the sponsorships in.
Sears already in. We putting them in because we on our show right now. So we got to put them in.
You know what I
mean? Sound we can do the show from the boxing match.
Come on, boy. That sound good to me.
Dudes, would you ever consider it?
We'll give a live play-by-play.
Dudes, would you ever consider boxing? Would you ever consider a celebrity? Oh,
nah, I'm good on that, bro.
You're good.
I'm not finna play boxing. I ain't scared of nobody, but I'm not finna play. Like the money would have to be like right.
See, that was the wrong answer.
Yeah.
If you're doing it for the money, you might get your head knocked off. I'm doing it because I really enjoy doing it. And like this is my you have to turn the switch on and off, put the seatbelt on. It's the time that I get to do something that I love to do.
I got
you. Take the seatbelt off. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't. I like it doing it for a workout, but for a whole like exhibition, 3, 4, 5 rounds, like that's like you got to really be committed to that, you know?
Yeah. Right.
It ain't for everybody, dudes.
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
we got a show tonight.
I ain't lost no fights, but I ain't finna just jump in no ring unless the money's right. You know what I'm saying? But like Pac just said, man, we got a really good show, man. A lot happening in college football. A lot happening. You know, your uncle, your pops, Deion Sanders, getting a big job in the Pac-12. We're going to ahead and discuss that a little bit later. And I guess we got to talk about your Bengals this show. I guess we ain't really got to have a choice to talk about them, even though we don't really want to talk about them. But let's go ahead and jump into the show. Coach Prime, Deion Sanders is the new head coach at the University of Colorado. And he said, fellas, he's bringing his own luggage with him. We'll talk about what that means. The Giants and the Commanders ending a tie, which actually could help them in the long run. We'll discuss why. And we'll preview the Monday night football game between the Bucs and the Saints. And we'll give you our picks for that game. But first, Jimmy Garoppolo breaks his foot en route to the 49ers, routing the Miami Dolphins 33-17. Now, Jimmy Garoppolo broke his left foot in yesterday's game against the Dolphins. It happened just 8 plays into the Niners opening drive. It was a play where, you know, Jalen Phillips and then also Jerome Baker were really kind of rushing, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo. He turned his back to him, and Jerome Baker was, you know, trying to tackle him, and Jimmy's foot kind of got caught up under Jerome's leg, and then Jimmy ended up breaking his foot. Yeah, this is Christian. I don't know about all that. Christian, like, this is Christian. Why is it? Hold on. Before we go, why is it Jimmy Garoppolo's fault he broke his foot?
Because, bro, when you have the ball in your hands, whether you're a quarterback, running back, a pass catcher, your ass need to learn how to take hits, and you know you got to know how to get down. Yeah, why are you fighting? Yes, yeah. So you're done. It ain't no slid. As soon as they jumped on him, you get down because now you're carrying 400 or 500 pounds on your back, and he's lucky it's just that. Could be his knee. Could be something else. Really good players, you know, that's aware. They know how to go down, bro. Ain't nobody doing that. He's fighting, trying. What are you fighting to stay up for? You're done. You got two guys on you.
Yeah, you're not getting out of that. And good point, because I remember when I sacked, you know, Peyton Manning, he was the king of that. Like, if you near him, oh, he hitting the ground. He ain't taking no unwanted. They not taking no unwanted hits, like unwarranted hits. Like, if there's a guy that's coming to them, they know they most likely not getting out of that tackle, they hitting the ground.
And
so
also
I get it from
art.
That point.
And listen, and this is the cool thing about our show, because we get to share these type of experiences and really peel back the layer. I know you want to get to Christian McCaffrey, but there's an art and science to a lot of things that we do, but people don't really see, right? Like something as simple as wide receiver catch the ball, he's running up the sideline, then here come Adam Pac-Man Jones, Adam's about to hit him, right? Well, I stiff arm Adam. Adam knocks down my hand. He's trained to – there's a drill that they do that knock down the stiff arm. Boom. Now he grabs me by the collar. Soon as I feel that collar, he's on my collar, the first thing I think about is what? The Dak Prescott injury, right? So what I got to do, I got to get my feet from underneath me so I can just fall on my ass or fall on my side so my legs don't get twisted. So there's art and science to how you stay healthy and you stay on the field.
Yeah, you make a great point, because, I mean, the way he fell, it's almost kind of like a horse collar tackle when your leg gets caught up under you. And you talked about it, right, Brandon? The body weight from those two That's defenders. Right. Your body's going one way, your foot's going the other way. It's not going to end well. But this is the running back, Christian McCaffrey from the 49ers, talking about Jimmy G and his injury.
It's brutal. It's brutal. I think, you know, I haven't been around a long time here. But I can't say enough good things about him. I've been in that position before where, you know, you're playing and you're excited and it all has to end in a year, and it really sucks and it hurts. And but I can't say enough good things about him from a leadership standpoint, you know, from the way that he operates, his attitude on a daily basis. And so I'm praying for him, and we all are going to have his back. But, you know, and I know guys like Brock and that whole quarterback room are, you know, you see a guy like Brock come in there and do well like that, it's because of Jimmy. You know, it's because learning from a guy like Jimmy, learning from, you know, Greasy and Kyle and all these guys. So, but yeah, heartbreaking.
Well, Christian McCaffrey, I appreciate that alley-oop, because talking about Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant in the 2022 NFL draft, came into the game. He was their third quarterback going into the season. We already know Trey Lance went down. Now Jimmy Garoppolo is out for the year. And B. Marsh, Brandon Marshall, and Adam Pac-Man Jones, we always talk about coaching, right, and how it matters in the NFL. I think a lot of people don't give some coaches enough credit when you got a mastermind like Kyle Shanahan and Brian Griese, who's the quarterback coach. This guy was not supposed to play this year, B. Marsh, right? He comes into the game and doesn't blink. 25 of 37, 210 yards, 2 touchdowns. Like, he did have one bad pass, that interception that Xavier Howard had. But to that point, Brandon Marshall, as a receiver, you guys always say, when it's one-on-one, give me an opportunity, right?
That's right.
Xavier Howard just made a better play on the ball. Also, it was a jump ball, kind of like a back shoulder fade. He threw it more inside. So X, you know, he's a top corner. He's going to pick that off. But other than that, Brock Purdy marched the offense up and down the field and was not fazed at all. This is Brock Purdy talking about how he's always ready for these situations.
It wasn't like, you know, I was out there like shaking and like, oh, shoot, what do I do? What's my read? None of that, man. It's every single week I act like I'm the, you know, starter. I got to prepare like I'm the starter. And, you know, my name was called. Coach Greasy said, let's roll. And just went out there thinking, all right, what do I got to do on the first play? Like check can or not, you know? So, but once I got hit, you know, on I think it was a rollout, it felt good just to be like, all right, got some contact in and now I can roll and settle down a little bit.
Now, B Impact, that's usually the company line, right? I always prepare each week like I'm the starters. Some guys actually believe it. Some actually don't. But this guy went in there and literally played like he was knew he was going to be the starter the whole way through. And again, that's why I go back into coaching, right? Because as far as preparation, getting those guys ready, he's been the backup ever since Trey Lance got hurt. Kyle Shanahan, Brian Greasy, they've done a really good job. I want to just start right here before we talk about the next quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, who was on the opposite side. B. Marsh, what do you make of the performance of Brock Purdy yesterday? Again, called into action, not thinking he was going to play, but come in efficient, living within the offense. And honestly, he kind of looked like Jimmy Garoppolo, a guy that didn't you know, wow you, you know, with his arm, but he was efficient, and that was the most important thing.
I understand what you mean when you say not expecting to play. But that's his job as a backup quarterback. That's your job if you're not the starter. If you're second, third, or fourth on a depth chart, is to always be ready. Because you never know when your number's going to be called, right? The injury rate in the NFL is 100%. And maybe even more if that's even possible when it comes to Jimmy Garoppolo. So if your ass is a quarterback behind Jimmy G, well, you better be ready to go anytime, right? So I wanted to push back a little bit on that. But the thing that I loved the most, Pack, when I watched this game was his flair, right? Like, there's one thing to throw a touchdown and then run back to the side and not show any emotion. This dude was throwing like little gun, shooting gun fingers. He was pumping. He was screaming. He was yelling, right? Like, he was hitting helmets with his linemen. That's the thing that gave me goosebumps watching it, because I said, oh, snap. If he can find a way to be consistent and then he has that type of energy, we could be talking about this dude as the guy, you know, that they may want to invest in going forward. When I say investment, I'm talking about their energy, their time. Like, let's give him a couple weeks. Let's see what he does. Next year, this offseason, let's see what he does. But the dude went out there and he did a phenomenal job taking advantage of his opportunity, Pack.
I totally agree. And we had a chance to see him in camp too, B. I don't know if you remember, but he was pretty decent in camp. Like, it was up tempo. But to go back to the main part that we were talking about when we go to San Francisco is the coaches. Shanahan can make anybody look good. If you can play with a little flair, you can do certain things. They background is almost like the chief background with
Andy Reid.
They do a lot of motion. They do good with getting guys in the right position as far as if you got a gadget guy, or if you got a guy that just can take the top off the coverage, or if you got a guy that got to manage the game. Both of these head coaches, when Andy Reid and
Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan.
The offensive pattern and scheme they got, bro, you got to be prepared. And they can make anybody look good if they got a good running game.
Was that the situation when you were there, right? Like, where you guys were so – was it a defense-focused you know, philosophy with, you know, look, offense, let's try to lean on our run game, take our shots when we can, but don't mess it up?
No, it was a little different because our defense wasn't where they're at. Obviously, I mean, we didn't have Nick Bosa. First and foremost, when you have a guy like that, it changes the whole outcome of your defense. And we also didn't have Fred Warner, right? So, I mean, I think those two guys who are perennial Pro Bowlers kind of change up what you can do on defense. I think they imagined that's what it was going to be, because you got to think they brought Saleh from Seattle, right? And D'Amico Ryan's just done an amazing job picking it up and kind of putting his own flair on it. But we actually were kind of offensive based, right? Because we had a little bit more talent at the time on offense than defense. Dude, I think that year, B, we had like seven starters on IR on defense. So it was it was random guys starting for us that year in 2017. And then remember, we traded for Jimmy. In the last 6 weeks, we went 6-0 with him as the quarterback. So like the offensive philosophy changed where he let Jimmy spin it a little bit, because at first they really only wanted to use Jimmy as a trade chip. People forget he wanted Kirk Cousins because he had his, you know, the history with him in Washington. But then Jimmy came in and they couldn't let him walk out the door because he played so well. Hold on.
What do you mean? They traded for Jimmy to have more ammo to go get Kirk Cousins? Is that what you said?
They were using Jimmy as a trade chip, 100%. They were going to trade Jimmy at the end of that year, because let's not forget, they traded a second round pick to get him with only 8 games left in the season. So they really actually weren't even going to play him. But then C.J. Beathard got hurt. And Jimmy had to play, and then he looked amazing. So it would have been crazy not to pay him and bring him back and bring that continuity back with the offense.
See, that's the problem. When you get into a relationship with someone thinking that it's going to be short term, it never works out. That's why every year they flirting with somebody else.
That's 100% what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Can I ask you a question, dudes, before you keep going on?
Go ahead.
What do you rank Fred Warner as linebacker wise? Is he top?
Top
what? I'm asking you.
Top one. That's what he is right now.
I'm asking you.
He top one in the league.
You said his name like you ain't have no respect on his line.
Oh, no. That's why. But I put more respect, Pat, because I said we didn't have a Fred Warner. We didn't have Bosa, who are perennial Pro Bowlers. You know what I'm saying? So,
AB,
literally, we were offensive based.
He might not be just killing people, but, bro, he is at the ball. Every
play, bro. Play.
dudes, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know too many defensive guys like that. I know the superstars. I got to be honest with y'all. All right. Yeah. By names, okay?
Yeah.
All right. The Jets linebacker.
CJ Mosley.
Is it 56?
Yes.
No, he's 57.
Oh, my goodness.
But you're talking about 56 Quincy Williams. He flies around.
Oh my goodness! You saw him Sunday.
He's fast, bro.
But he's not Fred.
I haven't seen.
He's nowhere near like Fred.
He's not there yet, but he's getting better and better each year.
Can you educate me and some of our listeners that may be just like me, not knowing all the linebackers? Can you give me the top three linebackers in the NFL?
Ooh.
Because we always talk about quarterbacks and wide receivers.
You got to put my boy in Cincinnati here. You do not say his name.
Stop always pushing Logan Cincinnati, Wilson? Pat. God dang, bro.
No. You talking about Pratt?
Yes.
Look at him. Pratt's a good player. I don't got him as a top three.
Oh, my God.
You're a homer, though, bro. You're a homer. So
all you got to do is look at the numbers.
You're a homer, Pat. But now, if I'm giving you the top three for this season, right, because I don't like that everybody be just using – you know, they names from what they did in the past. Fred Warner's in there. I know people have given Devin White slack, but I don't know if they've seen him play. Devin White is in there this year. And then third is
keep him up there. You know it. The team is having a bad year, but not him.
Hold on.
Yeah, no, he's playing really well.
No, I'm talking about Bobby Wagner.
I knew you was going to say that, and it's hard for me not to put Bobby in there because he's still playing at a high level right now. Like even though their team is trash, he's laying on. Like, he single-handedly tried to win that game for them Sunday versus Seattle. Hell of a player, man. So I think you would have to put him. I mean, honestly, Jordan, a lot of people don't notice Jordan Brooks in Seattle. 2 years in a row, he's led the league in tackles. He's played really well, too. He's a really good player. So, Jordan Brooks in there. Those would be my top three or four guys. Yeah, yeah.
I'll take that.
Three or four guys in the league right now.
And then you got Fred up there is number one. So,
that's why I have Fred as one.
Yeah, I like that five. I like that.
This is I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lijay Duzible, with my guys, Adam Pac-Man Jones and Brandon Marshall. We're talking about the San Francisco 49ers win over the Miami Dolphins. We talked about Jimmy Garoppolo and him being hurt and Brock Purdy and how efficient he was. Let's talk about the other quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, who was really efficient going into this game, actually was in the MVP race and still is, right? And it seemed like everything was great, B. Marsh and Pac, right? First play of the game. 75-yard touchdown. But what I was trying to tell fans and people that you have to understand with this Mike McDaniel and Shanahan offense, because it was like a mirror image watching these two teams play on offense, is that RPO game puts you in hell as a linebacker. And Fred Warner, we just talked about how great he is. He just took half a step, B. Marsh. It wasn't even a full step forward on the fake give to the running back, Jeff Wilson. That's all it takes is you going half a step forward. And Trent Sherford, really a 7-yard literally hitch. That's all it was. And then the safety just took a bad angle, and speed kills in the NFL. Safety takes a bad angle. Fred Warner just takes one step up thinking it's the run. They throw the ball right behind him. 75-yard touchdown. I kept trying to tell everybody, you know, a couple media people, I won't put them out there. Oh, this is the best defense in football. And Tua cooked them up in one play. I was like, relax. It's one right. play. And we saw what happened the rest of the game. They're the number one defense in football for a reason. Nick Bosa, my goodness. Three sacks in this game. He took advantage of an offensive line that didn't have Teron Armstead and Austin Jackson that made mincemeat of them. And the thing is, B, this is and this is why I like this show, and you talked about it too. We can give you insight of what's going on. When a quarterback is under that much duress, what happens, B. Marsh? They start seeing stuff that's not there, right? They get uncomfortable in the pocket. They get happy feet. You know the movie, the Disney movie with the penguin moving his feet up and down? That's what happened to Tua Tagovailoa. And I have been telling people, like, I love the strides Tua is taking. I think he's played masterful. But you were on the show, B, when I talked about it. I said, he's played the bottom five defenses in the league the last 5 weeks. I said, right. We're going to learn about the Miami Dolphins these next 5 weeks because they play the Jets, the 49ers, the Patriots, and the Bills defense, who are real defenses in the league. We're going to learn about Tua Tagovailoa these next 5 weeks. Now, the Chargers, they've been mincemeat on defense, so it might be a shootout next week with him and Justin Herbert. But right. them other four games, starting with the 49ers, I try to tell people it's a lot different when you're under constant duress and you have to be comfortable in the pocket. And it showed in that game. He was high on some throws. Guys were open. He overthrew them. Of course, he had the two. If you take away the two big explosive plays, one was a bad angle by the safety with the Trent Sherfield. The other one, cover four. That's a cover four beater. You know it, the dig with the post behind it.
That's right.
Teleno Hufanga bit on the dig coming underneath. And, you know, Charvarius Ward thought he had inside help. So he let, which you can't let, Tyreek Hill just run down the seam wide open on the post. Plus, with that speed, if you're not hip to hip with him, it's over with. So if you take away those two throws, I mean, he finished 18 of 33 for 295. Honestly, like 140 of that was on two plays. Right. So, I mean, this defense got after him. He threw two interceptions, had a fumble that went for a touchdown, a sack fumble by Nick Bosa that ended up going for a touchdown. Dre Greenlaw picked that up. So, Pac, I'm going to ask you this question. Does the 49ers victory over Miami with a third-string quarterback send a warning to the rest of the league? Oh, and was this Miami team success just a mirage?
For the first part of that question, it shows how good the coaching staff is for the San Francisco 49ers from head to bottom. I mean, from top to bottom, from head to bottom, from top to bottom, as far as getting guys ready to play. When you're on your third string quarterback and you can still put up numbers that they put up, that sums that up. Now, on the other end with the Dolphins, I don't know what was going on this week. Like,
they made a real defense. That's what happened.
Like, and it shows what the division really looked like over there. Like, I don't know, but we know that the Dolphins are a good team, regardless of what anybody say. I had the Dolphins winning this week. That was the only game that I got wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Time out. Did you pick them all?
I had the Dolphins winning.
Did you pick all the games?
No, I picked 10 games. Okay. I picked 10.
Okay.
No, you're talking about that's only one. That's listen, then you need to be my bookie. If you doing numbers like that, your ass need to be my bookie.
We got to get the break, fellas. But I just want to ask you.
Oh,
guys,
no, that ain't what it is. I'm acting like I know how to gamble. I'm a better. What's a bookie?
Before we get
what is
the
a
break,
bookie?
That's the guy.
The bookie
that
is the person that just like.
Side, right?
Oh, you bet with. What's the dude that you like? You know, hey, here's my bets of the week, and
that's
then,
the bookie, bro.
Yeah, that's a bookie.
So you take their bets and you put money behind their bets.
Yeah, I'm gonna be your bookie. What you want to bet? Tell me what you
no,
want to
no,
bet.
No,
a bookie
not what
is
I'm
a guy
saying.
That takes the bets.
No, I want to be your bookie because I know you ain't watching.
I'm talking about the guy. I'm talking about the guy that basically goes out there and says, "Look, I have a 60% win rate, right?
Oh,
I picked all the games.
Oh,
I forgot
what they call
the bookie.
That dude. Yeah,
can we get a call in? Guy. Somebody can somebody call in that knows gambling and give us these key terms, right?
But before we get the break, because we gotta get the break real quick, guys. Should Nick Bosa be the front runner right now for defensive MVP?
Ooh. Yes.
I know a lot of people say Michael Parsons, but what Nick Bosa has done this year is ridiculous.
I mean, it's neck to neck, Pat? Man.
Me personally, I think Michael Parsons, because Michael Parsons, he got a cast, but he ain't got a cast. Bosa got some guys, and with the linebackers and the safety they got, bro, they're a well solid team.
I mean, Parsons got some cast. I mean, Diggs is a Pro Bowl cornered. Wilson's playing at a Pro Bowl level at safety. So, I mean, they both got some guys.
Let's look at linebackers and linemen.
I think Dallas defensive ends be humming, bro. DeMarcus Lawrence, Fowler's played well. Doran Armstead, I think, has 10 sacks, bro. Yeah, they both got really good D-lines. And Eric Armstead just came back from the 49ers, which I thought was a big boost for them Sunday.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Yo, 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 this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. The soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a bread head. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero, hero.co.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active cash.
Welcome back to I Am Athlete Tonight. I'm your host, Lijay Doosable, with my guys, Brandon Marshall and Adam Pac-Man Jones. And you hear Deion talking, must be the money. And Deion Sanders is the new coach at the University of Colorado, and in Deion fashion, made a grand entrance when being introduced at the press conference today. Now, a person with knowledge of Sanders' contract told the Associated Press that it's worth $29.5 million plus incentives over 5 years, beginning at $5.5 million in the first year. Incentives include $150,000 for 6 wins and $100,000 for each win after 6, $150,000 for a bowl berth, and $200,000 for a New Year's 6 bowl invitation. Now, Deion kept it real with his team in his first meeting when he met players that are currently on the roster for Colorado. Listen to what Deion had to say to his team.
We got a few positions already taken care of because I'm bringing my luggage with me. And it's Louis. Okay. It ain't gonna be no more of a mess that these wonderful fans, the student body, and some of your parents have put up with for probably 2 decades now. I'm coming. And when I get here, it's gonna be changed. So I want y'all to get ready to go ahead and jump in that portal and do whatever you're gonna get. Because the more you jump in, the more room you make. Because we bring kids
That was smart. Say that. Smart.
Smart.
Tough.
Tough.
Man, B. Marsh and Pac, before we go any further, my man Deion said, I'm bringing my luggage with me, and it's Louis. And first and foremost, like, as a player, I'll start with you, Adam Pac-Man Jones, because you got a personal relationship with Deion. As a coach that comes in there with full transparency, right, lets you know, hey, we got a few positions that's already taken care of, right? I'm bringing my luggage with me. So go ahead and jump in that portal if you need to. Because I'm coming.
Yeah.
And we changing things around here. One, I think that's Deion challenging those kids that are currently there. You know what I'm saying? He wants to see who's going to be tough enough to withstand that and stay there and fight it out. And then he's being 100% honest with some of them guys, because let's not get it twisted. Colorado has been a bottom feeder in college football for the last 5 years. They've been bad, really bad. So what do you think about that transparency with Deion to the current members on the Colorado team?
First and foremost, I just want to shout out Colorado, the University of Colorado, because what they're doing is big. They have had 4 black coaches.
Correct.
Deion is the 4th black coach they done had. How many black coaches in the SEC? How many times have the SEC hired a black coach, a head coach? Like, I think this is way bigger than what people looking at it as. And then you go back and you look at some of the comments. Oh, he letting us down? No, he ain't. He ain't letting us down. He built Jackson State to the maximum. It's nothing else that he can possibly do there to help the situation. Now, but what he is doing, though, he's taking some of these kids who maybe weren't offered by Colorado, who playing at Jackson State. Guess what? When he said what he said, that's what he meant. You know, I got some luggage with me, and it's Louis. Because some of these kids who he bringing with him, you know, would have never had this shot. Or some of them did have the shot and turned it down to go with D.
Correct.
I think this is epic for the culture. And this is big, bro. Like, this is really big.
Yeah. B, before I bring you in, B. Marsh, I want to talk about what Pac said, right? Because I had to get on Twitter, and I was kind of upset at how some people were responding to Deion taking his job. You heard the word sellout. He stole the culture. And this is what kind of irked me with that, right? Because for one, Deion was himself at Jackson State. He wasn't somebody else. He didn't steal anybody's culture. Like, Deion brought that bravado there. To Pac-Man's point,
come on,
he highlighted, you know, HBCUs in a positive manner, right? That hadn't been done in years. Brandon Marshall, game day went to Jackson State. That has never happened for an HBCU.
Right.
Now, to me, it irks me because you're mad that somebody's elevating, not thinking, well, you don't think he can elevate other black men too to get higher positions at different colleges? Now, I get it, right? People are saying, well, we want him to stay there to build up the HBCUs. That way, guys don't want to leave. But everybody that's saying that, nobody is in his shoes. They're not in that position, right? Deion was making $300K a year at Jackson State. I just read you the numbers from Colorado.
And 5.5 donated half of it, I thought.
Million. What'd you say, Brandon?
And donated half of it.
Yeah, exactly. And again, he brought so much awareness. And everybody knows this, or you may not notice. I call college football games, right? So week 2, I had a game, UCF, South Carolina State. South Carolina State is the team that Deion and Jackson State played last year in the Celebration Bowl, right? I talked to Buddy Pugh, who's a legend at the HBCU level as far as coaching. He gave Deion so much props for what he was doing for HBCUs. He's like, now it's our job to monetize this, right? And really benefit what Deion did as far as bringing awareness around HBCUs, saying how great it is to go to an HBCU. He said that year after they went to the Celebration Bowl, Brandon and Pac, that was the greatest recruiting class they had in 10 years, right? They got some of the best players they've ever gotten. So I just had to get that off my chest. It kind of irked me when people were talking about, you know, Deion, quote unquote, calling him a sellout and saying he should have stayed there. And again, for one, yes, you could say it's about the money, but it's a clear difference. Like you said, Brandon, he donated half of that money back to the school and to other organizations. And then he's making 5.5 compared to 300K. And he's in a position now where he can elevate other black men. So I just had to get that off my chest. What do you think about Deion getting his job at Colorado?
This is a robust conversation. There's a lot to this.
Yeah, we could be on the show for the whole hour talking about this.
Yeah, first I want to start off by saying Deion's not a sellout, right? There's tastemakers in the world. There's people that set the temperature. Deion Sanders, whatever room he goes in, he's never switched up. He always sets the temperature. However, I do think that it could be a little premature, right? And I also think that, you know, some of these, you know, some of the commentary around this is valid. You understand? Like, there's some people that are out there like, man, how does the other high school athletes feel, or how are they going to respond to this now seeing Deion leave the best HBCU to go to one of the worst predominantly white football programs, right? Because if we're having a conversation in our community about building up our community, right, and we're trying to get more of us, the Adam Pac-Man Jones, the Dudeses of the world, the Shady McCoys of the world, to really consider HBCUs, how does that happen when we lose our coaches? Now, all this isn't on Deion, right? This is an institutional challenge. Correct. Deion, yes, he's done a phenomenal job, and it's time for those coming to take it to a whole nother level. He started this massive conversation. But from an institution standpoint, we have to find a way to keep a guy like Deion. And I don't know what that looks like.
You need to pay him $6 million. That's what it looked like.
I understand that. But like I said, it may be a little premature.
You're a number man. You're a number man.
Sometimes it ain't all about the number.
We're talking about. Oh, well, you stay there and get $300K, and you done did everything you could do. What else could he do right now at Jackson State? He went undefeated this year, won the championship.
I'm not talking about football.
I'm not just talking about Deion's influence and him leaving. What does that say about
the HBCUs? I'm talking about our communities. I'm talking about the conversation that was started.
Our communities need to know that, like, if you're excelling, you deserve to get bumped up. Like, this is something that we need to be talking about, because we got some companies that we have guys that's way better and way qualified for the head coaching job and can't get it. Same thing with the SEC. That's why I brought that up. Like, this is way bigger than us talking about, all right, how do the kids feel? Look, is he qualified? Yes, he is. Why shouldn't he have got the Florida State job? We can go down and down the list.
Yeah, this conversation
things, but like, I don't know. Like, this is how I looked at it, because I asked him about it. In life, we got dreams. You always want to get better and better and better and better. Like, I don't know about y'all, but I'm quite sure for I'm Athlete tonight, your vision is a billion company. I'm just saying that out loud. But like, we can't sit here and say, hey, look, don't get better, or don't get moved up the ladder to protect the people, because that ain't realistic. That ain't what life is about.
Yeah, like I said, this conversation could literally go for 2 hours. I get, you know, Brandon's point and why some people are upset, because they wanted to, you know, like Brandon said, they wanted to make it a great place to go to a HBCU. Like, and now with Deion leaving, right, our kids are going to technically want to come back. But like you said, Brandon, it's whoever is appointed next. And I think Deion gave a recommendation. He wanted somebody on the staff. They got to take it to the next level, right? So I don't fault Deion for leaving, because again, monetary wise, it's a major pay increase. And then he also, again, can elevate other people on his coaching staff and put them in better positions. But I get your point, B. Like, I understand where some people are coming from with that. But I would just ask, if anybody was in that position, thought, they were getting offered thought, that pay raise,
listen, we
would,
had,
they,
we,
would they not?
Oh, yeah, we had Deion on season 2 of I Am Athlete, right? It's not on YouTube right now, because you had Fred Taylor telling YouTube to flag it. But
you just had to throw that in there, huh?
But we had a legendary conversation, and look, I asked Deion flat out, like, you know, in a couple years, if a Power 5 school come and offer you, what are you going to do? You know, and you know, he was being Deion, and Deion answered. You know, he said what he had to say, right? As far as like, look, I'm here to do this job, but with Pac-Man. Just said he said that, like, look, I'm looking for growth as well. I just think sometimes, man, for me personally, and this is what I said on that show, and that's, you know, that particular episode, you know, sometimes, man, like, you have an opportunity to do something bigger than sports, and Dion, he did that. I just hope that, you know, he got everything out of this phase of his legacy, right? Yeah. Because the HBCU whole movement in sports will be changed forever. And I just hope that it doesn't get lost in him leaving in 3 years.
Yeah, this is a great conversation that we could have all day, but unfortunately we got to push this forward. But according to this tweet by Josh Newberg, a source at Colorado tells him that over 200 recruits and portal transfers have reached out in the last 12 hours. Some of them are 4- and 5-star caliber players. Deion Sanders has a chance to make some noise before signing day, and NIL money is also rolling in, is what he was told.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
You don't need a lot of money to do more with it. Join Padma Lakshmi, Viola Davis, and Fidelity's Women Talk Money team during our free Women's History Month series as we get real about ways you can start planning and saving for the future you want so you can feel good about your money every step of the way. Save your seat today at fidelity.com/WHM. Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, member NYSE, SIPC.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.